Proverbs 27:12 reads, "The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it." Hi, I'm Rob West. The word insurance isn't in the Bible, but it does say that it's wise to protect your financial holdings, and insurance is one way to do that. We'll talk about all the insurance you need today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, unless you have tens of millions of dollars spread across dozens of investments, you're going to need insurance for several things. So, what insurance do you need? Well, let's start with policies that you don't have much choice about purchasing. Auto insurance, for example, is usually required by law if you own and drive a car. Homeowner's insurance is also required if you have a mortgage, and it would be quite foolish not to have it even if you don't have a mortgage. You can usually save money by bundling auto and homeowner's insurance. While you're at it, look into the option of an umbrella policy. For $300 or $400 a year, you can add a $1 million policy to protect your assets in case you're sued and the settlement exceeds the limits of your auto or homeowner's policies, which is easy to do these days. By the way, if you're a renter, you need to have renter's insurance. It will probably cost you less than $200 a year, and it's well worth it. It not only protects your property inside the rental unit, but also covers you if you're sued by your landlord or someone else for negligence. Obviously, another must-have is health insurance. If you think it's too expensive, consider not having it. The average cash cost of a doctor visit is $100 to $150. Paying cash for an emergency room visit will cost you around $2,500, and a one-day stay in the hospital without insurance can set you back around $9,300. You know, a lot of folks call asking if they need life insurance. The truth is, you don't need life insurance unless someone is depending on your income. When the kids are grown and out of the house, you may not need it at all, or perhaps you can downsize your policy to provide for your spouse only. And in most cases, I would advise you to get a term life insurance policy, not whole life. Don't mix insurance with investing unless there's a specific reason to do it. Once you reach your 50s, you really need to look into long-term care insurance. If you don't think you need it, consider that 70% of 65-year-olds will need some type of long-term care, according to the latest data from the Department of Health and Human Services. Women typically need this care for 3.7 years. Men need it for 2.2 years. That's plenty of time to wipe out all of your assets before Medicaid takes over paying for your care. Long-term care insurance is generally expensive, but again, consider the cost of not having it. Most people purchase it between ages 55 and 65. Start looking at policies in your early 50s and select one with the longest term you can find. Another form of insurance you probably should have is long-term disability insurance. If you are incapacitated due to an accident or illness, you could be without a paycheck long enough to wipe out your emergency savings. A long-term disability policy will cover you in that event. Plan on it costing between 1 and 3% of your annual salary. Premium amounts are tied to how much you make, so the higher the salary, the higher the premium. Now, let's look at a couple of types of insurance you probably don't need. First is title theft insurance. These policies don't really lock your title, and if someone files a false deed and takes out loans on your property, you can't be foreclosed on because it won't hold up in court. Also, you can sign up for free monitoring now with most county deed offices. By the way, don't confuse title theft insurance with title insurance, which you really do need when you purchase a house. That protects in case there's a legitimate challenge to your ownership of the property. And finally, there's identity theft insurance, another type of policy that claims to, quote, lock your credit. You can freeze your credit all on your own for free with the three credit bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, and you really should do that. You can freeze and unfreeze your credit anytime you want. Identity thieves won't be able to open accounts in your name because lenders can't check your credit if it's frozen. Still, credit monitoring services can be valuable. Many times when there's a data breach somewhere and you have to get a new credit card number, for example, you'll be offered free credit monitoring, perhaps for a year. Always sign up for that. It'll alert you if someone tries to open an account in your name. All right, I hope that helps you today. By the way, be sure to check your credit report and credit score regularly. Credit report, annualcreditreport.com, credit score, Credit Karma, or Credit Sesame. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. For some in the U.S., today is a day of dread. Taxes officially are due today. For accountants, maybe this is a finish line of sorts, something to look forward to, but most people would rather just get it behind them. Taxation, it's a sore subject. It was 2,000 years ago as well. Jesus spoke about it. The Pharisees then wanted him to call out the oppressive Roman government. To them, Rome was the enemy. But Jesus did not give in. He respected the government of that day and said, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And so it is today. We can honor him in our hearts today, knowing that our treasure is in heaven. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown, thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way, 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to take your calls and questions today. We want to know what you're thinking about in your financial life. We'd love to help you navigate that in light of biblical wisdom. We can do that when you call 800-525-7000. That's right. Lines are open. We're ready for you. We'll get you on the air, whether you use your name or you come on anonymously. We'd be happy for you to go either way. 800-525-7000. Maybe you're thinking about staying on budget today in light of high inflation. Maybe you're thinking about navigating the market as the market continues to roar back, pressing closer and closer to that 40,000 point on the Dow Jones again in light of some soft economic data that's giving renewed confidence to investors that perhaps a Fed rate cut is coming sooner rather than later. And it's a part of that upside-down economy we're in where bad news is good. We've talked about that extensively with both Bob Dahl and Jerry Boyer. You want to navigate the markets. We want to help with that. Maybe it's paying down debt. We'll talk about that in a moment. Or giving wisely. Whatever it is, we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. As we look at what's in the news today, more patients may be required to pay up front for surgeries in the future. Many hospital and surgery centers are now requiring patients to pay before they'll perform surgical procedures, sometimes even delaying that care until payment is received. According to Kodiak Solutions, a healthcare and software company, nearly a quarter of patients are now paying for surgeries ahead of time. Of course, hospitals are required to handle medical emergencies, but they have the option of requiring advance payment for some procedures. We're talking things like knee replacements or other types of imaging, perhaps in some cases even births, according to the Wall Street Journal. Late payments have become a serious problem for many hospitals. By some estimates, up to 20% of treated patients haven't paid their latest medical bill. Experts advise that if you need to schedule a surgery, find out ahead of time what it will cost, how much you'll have to pay, separate from what your insurance might cover, and the date you'll have to pay it. That's good advice, even if you aren't required to pay up front. Knowing the total cost will help eliminate sticker shock if an unexpectedly high medical bill comes in the mail. Keep in mind, often they will work with you on a payment plan, and so that may be something you want to discuss in advance, especially if you're having to come out of pocket. But just something to be aware of as these delinquencies climb. These healthcare providers are taking steps to mitigate their risk, and one way they're doing that is by these advance payments. All right, again, we'll be turning to your calls here in just a moment. We've got some lines open. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. By the way, I mentioned we'd talk about debt here. Interesting data out as well on the debt front, and this has to do with seniors entering retirement. You know, here on the program, we talk a lot about the fact that it's really ideal for you to be debt-free as you enter retirement. Really important that you be able to eliminate this largest expense from your budget so that you can keep your expenses low and maximize whatever savings or income sources you have. Well, that's ideal. It's just not happening as much as it has in the past. Listen to this. 25 years ago, about half of Americans between the ages of 65 and 74 were debt-free. Half of them in this retirement season. Now, only about a third. As we know, debt hems us in, especially when the economy slows down and housing prices drop and the stock market declines. That's happened before. It'll surely happen again. So if you can get out of debt by the time you retire, of course, you will absolutely be glad that you did. Now, as we think about debt, that does beg the question of, okay, when do we borrow? What should that look like? And certainly as we think about borrowing decisions, we have to start with this idea that borrowing is not a sin. Yet, there are clear warnings in Scripture around borrowing that you need to be on your guard, starting with the wisdom of King Solomon from Proverbs 22:7, the rich rules over the poor, the borrower is the slave of the lender. So there's a change in relationship when we borrow, and that's why we need to be really careful about borrowing. We certainly need to be on our guard about getting into a lender-borrower, master-slave relationship when it comes to family members and friends. We talk about that a lot. We also need to recognize that borrowing may deny God an opportunity to work. You know, when you pull out that plastic to kind of intervene in a desperate situation, I think it lessens our desire to be able to move into a situation where we can trust the Lord for his provision, you know, inviting God into our financial life and asking him to intervene miraculously. Borrowing always presumes upon the future. We certainly know that. Debt mortgages the future. So what are some of those questions that we need to answer before taking on debt? Well, I think one of them is the economic return is greater than the economic cost. What does that mean? Well, it just simply means that when we're borrowing for appreciating assets. So that certainly doesn't mean borrowing for consumer debt, like going out to dinner or entertainment. What it does mean is borrowing for a business or the purchase of a home, because those should be assets that are appreciating. So we want to make sure the economic return is greater than the economic cost. Second, spousal unity. This one is essential. I think this is a non-negotiable decision that when I'm taking on debt, my spouse and I are in complete agreement. And if one of you is disagreeing about the taking on of this debt, well, I think at that point, you just don't do it. I think you need to have an absolute commitment to spousal unity before taking on debt. Third, there's no better alternative. We've exhausted all of the other alternatives and decided there is no better way to go. It doesn't mean there aren't any other ways to go. It just means there aren't any better ways to go before we take on this debt. And then fourth, is there a guaranteed way to repay? And you might say, well, Rob, what does that look like? How do I have a guaranteed way to pay back debt? Well, you would have an asset. You would have collateral that's attached to it. So with your home, as long as you're borrowing with enough of a down payment, and we recommend at a minimum that down payment of 20%, well, if you have that in place, then you're going to ensure that you've got equity, and therefore there's a guaranteed way to repay by liquidating the asset. You can satisfy the obligation. So you just want to make sure before you get into taking on debt, there is a guaranteed way to repay. And, you know, this certainly gets into this area of co-signing as well. Remember I said you won't find a prohibition against debt. You'll just find warnings on it in Scripture. But where the Bible is very clear is that you shouldn't co-sign. It's a big no-no in God's word. And here's the reality. The statistics, the data bears out the wisdom that we see, the truth that we see in God's word around this topic. The Federal Trade Commission tells us that in about 50% of the cases where you co-sign for another person, you will have to step in and make that payment if you don't want to get into a past due status and trash your credit. And the reason is because so often when we're co-signing for someone, it's because a lender has decided in good faith not to allow them to borrow. And so we're stepping in and kind of playing that role of, lender where we probably shouldn't be. Not to mention the fact that, again, it changes the relationship. And even if that person, despite their best efforts, is unable to pay, well, you've got to decide, does the relationship come first or does the finances come first? And that's a difficult situation. So just stay away from co-signing. Hope that's helpful. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. Back with more right after this.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Transgenderism, critical race theory, and evolution. Is your child or grandchild ready to face these and other issues on campus? Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson with Probe Ministries and Point of View. You know, many Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why we have the Mind Games Camp this year, June 16 to 22nd, a week of presentations, role play, as well as fun at camp. Sign up today at probe.org and help them meet these challenges to their faith.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance right here on American Family Radio, where we look at everything on AFR through the lens of a biblical worldview, and that certainly includes your role as a steward in managing God's money. I've got one line open. I'm ready to dive into your questions today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. If you have a question in your financial life today, give us a call. Let's begin today in Tennessee. Melanie, you'll be our first caller. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I will be retiring, Lord willing, March 31st of 2025, and at that time I'll be 63 years old. My husband is self-employed. He's 61 now. He's 60 now. He'll continue to work a little along, and I am not planning on tapping into my Social Security unless you say I may as well do that. We will be at that time probably free of any payments or debt except for a 2019 Yukon, and it'll be right at $20,000 that we'll still owe on that.
All right.
I am probably overinsured in every area of the word, but that's okay. We use Samaritan Ministries for his health insurance, and good. I will convert to that once I retire for my full-time job. I'm a nurse, so I'll be doing something. There's something that I can do, and I've been away from hands-on care, so I'll be getting back into some frontline, hands-on care is what I want to do.
Nice.
And that'll be on a very part-time, couple days a week is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So my 401k will have around 200,000, give or take 10,000 at that time, depending on, I guess, if it crashes or whatever.
Sure.
So what would you advise as far as my 401k? We do have an emergency fund, and we have three rental properties. So.
Excellent. I love it. Well, that's a great overview, Melanie. And first of all, congratulations. You guys have put yourself in a really strong position. You're debt-free except for that car. I love the fact that you've got a plan as you head into retirement, thinking about what it looks like to start to slow down, but you have the ability to continue to do things that you're passionate about that align with your gifts and talents and God's call in your life. It allows you to continue to have some sources of income, even though maybe you're pivoting towards some things that allow for a little bit more seasonal rest and enjoyment of just all the things you have in your life. I love the fact that you've got good diversification, not only in stocks and bonds through that 401k, but you've got an emergency fund, and then you've got some property as well, three rental properties that, as long as you're willing to continue to serve as a landlord, should throw off some nice income and continue to appreciate. So that's great. Have you run your budget, Melanie, for what that will look like as you transition into retirement here in a couple of years, just to look at, okay, what changes might we have? Maybe you don't need as many work clothes, and maybe you're not eating out for lunch as much. I mean, just looking at what that budget might look like for that season, and with your expected kind of step down in income for both you and your husband, would you be able to cover your bills with the income you have from your part-time work and your rental properties without taking Social Security or drawing from the 401k, or will you need to supplement it?
We should be able to do without tapping into that. The big thing, the question I had about the Social Security and not taking advantage of it early, is the threat of it not being there, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Several years away. So that was my only thing about the Social Security.
Yeah. No, I think it does make sense for you to wait. You're going to get certainly waiting till full retirement age, which is probably 66 and a half for you, or closer to 67. But I'd even consider waiting all the way till age 70, just because you don't need the money and you'll grow that check by 8% a year. You are in a situation where you're close enough to retirement where, you know, you're probably not even going to see any changes in your benefits. I mean, what we're looking toward is 2035, when the headlines have, you know, telling us that the Social Security Trust Fund will run out. And that's true. We're on track for that to happen, even if that were to happen. And I don't think it will, and I'll tell you why. But even if it were to happen, they'd still be able to pay 70% of retirement benefits, even with that trust fund at zero, just through ongoing revenues coming in through FICA taxes. But it's too much of a political hot potato. It's not something that, you know, they will be able to allow to even drop to 70%. They'll shore it up either, in my opinion, through higher FICA taxes or continuing to push out the full retirement age as a means to restore it. You know, there's just too many voters in that category for anyone on their watch to allow Social Security to, you know, be insolvent. So I wouldn't worry about that. And I like the guaranteed increase of that 8% a year, because as long as you're in good health, you know, as long as you live past 82, you'll have that check probably about 25 to 28% higher for the rest of your life, which could come in really handy down the road if you need long-term care. And it's, you know, increasingly, you know, the inflation on that is pretty high. So I like that option because you all can cover your bills. You've done a great job preparing and you don't need the money. I'd probably look to roll that 401k to an advisor who could manage that. Once you retire, get out from under the 401k, open up your investment universe, give your advisor a little bit more control over the investments that are selected and the fees. And if you don't have an advisor, you could go to our website at faithfi.com and interview two or three certified Kingdom advisors when you click find a professional and find the one that's the best fit. You said you're overinsured. Have you taken on any long-term care insurance along the way?
I don't have long-term care insurance. We have three daughters, and being a nurse, I'm very resistant to medicine and medical care.
Sure.
My daughter has always said, you know, we've got this basement. I'm going to convert it to a nursing facility, and we'll put my in-laws here and y'all here, and we're going to take care of y'all. Don't worry about it.
So, I love that. What a blessing that is. All right. Well, listen, I think you're doing great here, Melanie. I love the plan. I would delay Social Security. You pray about it and decide what you want to do, but that would be my recommendation. And then I'd look to get an advisor for the 401k when the time comes. Stay on the line. I'm going to send you a book. You know, on an uncommon guide to retirement that'll give you a biblical worldview of how to think about this next season. But I love your plan. Just keep at it. Hang on the line. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit GiveShoesToday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's GiveShoesToday.org.
Are you really worshiping God? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
So you can come to church and you can dress up nice and you can sing all the songs and you can stand up and you can clap and you can say praise the Lord. And people around you can say, oh, look how they love God next to me. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Learn how to fall in love with God and find real worship. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Helping you see God as your ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish God's purposes. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're going to be headed back to the phones. We've got a few lines open for your calls and questions today. Call right now, 800-525-7000. Alan, we'll be coming your way in Texas, but first to Arkansas. Ken, you'll be our next caller. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Appreciate all your common sense and your knowledge you're sharing with us. I appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
I listen to you nearly every morning, but I really, really like what you're sharing. God's words and touching our hearts and, again, helping us live our life and share with others as we do. I'm 75. I'm still working. I'm having to take money from my IRA each year, and I'm just curious to know, is there a best time to take that? Do you take it in the early part of the year, the middle part of the year, the end of the year? What's your recommendation?
Yeah, it's a great question, Ken. Thank you for your kind remarks about the program as well, sir. You know, many advisors will tell you to wait until late in the year to take that RMD for a few reasons. Number one, it allows you to delay the income tax due on the distribution as long as possible because you may want to be sending it, you know, throughout the year if you're taking it starting at the beginning of the year. Number two, it maximizes the deferred return inside the retirement account. Now, obviously, a lot of that comes down to market performance, but all things being equal, if the market is, you know, gaining some ground over the course of the year, having that continued, you know, deferred return where the taxes are not impacting it and it's free to continue to grow is a good thing. And then, you know, on occasion, there might be new deals that arise for RMDs during the year, and you could take advantage of those. But it generally comes down to the first two points I mentioned. So I think all things being equal, I'd probably wait till later in the year. Now, the question then begs the idea that you don't need the money. Is that right, Ken? You're not living on this. You're just taking it because the IRS is requiring it?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. And really, I'm directing it directly to my church. So it's not like I'm, you know, I've heard you talk about that, and I did it last year, and it worked out real well.
Okay.
And I'm going to do it again this year.
Okay, great. So you're using the qualified charitable distribution?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Yeah. So you're not even having to add this to your taxable income, which is excellent. So really the only benefit there is just maximizing the deferred return. Now, obviously that works against you in a year where the market happens to be up in the first part of the year and down in the second. And that may in fact be the case this year as, you know, we've got this market that's sky high. And we'll talk about this with Alan in a moment because he wants to ask why the market has been performing so well. But just a preview to coming attractions, I think it's largely driven by by corporate profits, and we're counting on those continuing to be high, but we're already seeing some chinks in that armor just because of the fact that, you know, we're seeing the effects of this sticky inflation and these high interest rates. So, you know, you don't want to time the market. At the same time, you know, just given where we are with the market and the fact that you're not having any impact with taxes using that qualified charitable distribution, you may want to think about, you know, doing it before we get into the last quarter of the year, just because, you know, we're starting to see signs that the consumer is, you know, losing some steam, and corporate profits, I think, are going to begin to trend down. So that would probably be the only reason why you may want to take it sooner than later. Does that make sense, Ken? Oh, it looks like we lost him. Ken, it was a great question. Thanks for being on the program, sir. God bless you. Let's go to Texas. Alan, go ahead with your question.
Yes. I was just wondering, my investment portfolio is sky high. I mean, it's up 35% in the past 3 years. And
yeah.
I was just wondering what you thought was driving this bull market. And do you think our grandkids will ever be able to pay their way out of Trump's $7.8 trillion national deficit?
Yeah, well, a couple of things you're hitting on there. Number one is why the strength in the market. And, you know, it really comes down to, I mean, the bull case rests on solid, continued solid earnings growth for corporations. And, you know, we're still seeing that now, even though this is a lagging indicator, because we're looking backwards when we see companies' profits and quarterly earnings, because it's for the previous quarter. But 59% of companies are still exceeding their revenue estimates. We're talking about the S&P 500. And, you know, 80% have reported earnings. And when they did, 77% of the S&P 500 that have reported are exceeding their earnings per share estimates. So we just have a lot of strength with regard to corporations and what they're doing. We also have a strong consumer that is held up quite resiliently, even in the midst of these high interest rates. We're starting to see some cracks there with rising debt levels. But nevertheless, at least to this point, we've had you know, consumers holding up quite well. And so that earnings growth, the belief that inflation is contained, has been a lot of the driver of this market. That remains to be seen for sure. It's been ticking up as of late. And I think the big idea here that's a big driver of this market, clearly, is this longer-term artificial intelligence secular growth theme. So it's this idea that AI is going to be a boon for the economy, and you know, it's going to drive productivity and innovation like we've never seen before. And I think there's a lot to be said about that. I was, you know, listening to an interview just last week with a billionaire investor who's highly respected on Wall Street. And he said, you know, despite Bidenomics, you know, if you set some of that aside, which is, you know, really hurting business, you know, we're in a period right now which is some of the most exciting that we've ever seen for innovation and productivity and, you know, what the opportunities are here in America for the future, which have far-reaching implications for our economy. The question is whether we're going to stifle that with higher taxes and higher, you know, more regulations, which make it harder for businesses to do business, and unrestraint. And you hit on this as well with regard to our fiscal situation. I mean, we're at a $1.8 trillion budget deficit. I mean, it's just staggering to think that we'd have that kind of deficit in the midst of, you know, incredibly low unemployment and, you know, just at a full workforce, essentially, to be running these kinds of deficits are just, it's mind-boggling to think that we'd be in that situation, and yet we are. And yet, you know, and at the same time, and you hit on this, we've got debt, national debt that's running away. So, you know, I think there is a case to be made for why the market has done what it's done. The question is, where does it go from here? And I think if we're starting to see corporate profits, you know, not be as strong, and we're already starting to see some early signs of that, if inflation tends to be stickier than we expected and settles in, you know, at 3+% instead of the Fed's target of 2, you know, and we hit that recession and they have to start lowering interest rates. And so that becomes the new norm. If that's the case, then we're probably going to see a market that doesn't perform as well as it has over the last 2 decades in the coming decades. How do we deal with the debt? Well, it's going to require significant budget fiscal restraint. Will we have leaders that will be willing to do that? I don't know. We'll find out. And it's going to require that our economy continue to perform. We have all the makings for it. We just need to get out of government out of the way and let it run. Thanks for your call, Alan. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow Him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
When you hear the phrase, rich toward God, what comes to mind? Surely it doesn't mean making God rich. Is it about us becoming rich so we can give? Or maybe it's an invitation to something much bigger. In the new Rich Toward God study, FaithFi has created a way for you to explore and reflect on a well-known biblical parable about a very rich man with a very big problem. Request a copy of the Rich Toward God study today with your gift of $25 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got lines open. We're taking your calls and questions today in our final segment. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. Whether it's living within your means, which is the key to every financial success, living within God's provision, not outside of it through debt, or maybe it's the topic of debt. How do you get out from that credit card debt once and for all? What's the best way to do it? Is it loan consolidation? Is it debt management? Is it debt settlement? We can talk about that. Maybe it's giving wisely. You know, I love what our earlier caller is doing with his required minimum distributions. He's really thinking strategically about this. You know, here's where so many retirees are. They're having to take money out of the IRA that they don't need because they've got Social Security. They have a 401k. They've got, you know, other assets. They're living modestly. They're out of debt. And so they're saying, why take that required minimum out and pay taxes on it when I don't need to? Well, the government's going to make you once you get to 73. But if you don't need the money, you can pull it out through a qualified charitable distribution and skip the tax on it by getting it straight into a ministry or charity of your choice. So there's that opportunity as well. Or perhaps this market, you know, how do we navigate the volatility we're seeing in the market and where is the market headed from here? All of those questions are in play today. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You know, so often I get questions from folks wanting to know, can you boil God's word down? What are those basic principles? And, you know, here's what I would say. Number one, and by the way, we'll head back to the phones here in just a moment. Number one is you got to start with the idea that God owns it all. I mean, that changes everything because now I'm a steward or a manager of God's money. And as a manager or a steward, I have to know the heart of the master in order to be able to handle his money effectively. I've got to put money in its proper place, a tool, a good creation to provide and to give and to enjoy, not an end, a means to an end. And then I apply basic biblical principles that we see in Scripture among those 2,300 verses that we're to live within our means, avoid debt, set long-term goals, have some margin or some liquidity, like your emergency fund, and then give generously, because giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. And if we do those five things over a long time, we'll put ourselves in a position to experience God's best. All right, let's head back to the phones. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To Mississippi. Hi, Daniel. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for your call.
Sir, I was out listening to you a while ago, and you went over something with somebody I never heard of, a qualified charitable distribution.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'd love to explain that to you. Let me ask you a question, though. What is your age?
I'm 72.
All right. Have you started taking your required minimum distributions, or is that coming next year?
It's possibly going to come this year. I just got some advice from my accountant. Okay. And he said that, you'll know this much better than me, he said that you have to take it either at the end of the year or next year. It's legal, but if you wait till next year, you'll have to take two.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, it really comes down to your age, because there's been some changes in the law. So if you're 73 and older, you have to make your required withdrawal from your IRA by December 31st, unless it's the first year that you're doing it. And the first year you do it will be by April the 1st. So, you know, you will want to check with him just on the timing of that. But let me talk about the qualified charitable distribution, because this could be a great opportunity for you, Daniel. Are you, first of all, what do you have in that IRA? How much?
It's a reasonable amount of money, a couple of hundred.
Okay, a couple hundred thousand. And do you need that money to, like, when you pull it out for the RMD, is that money you're going to live on, or are you only pulling it out because the IRS is going to tells you have to?
Probably. I could use it, but it's not something I'll have to have at
okay.
this moment.
Good. All right. So this is where a qualified charitable distribution could be a great tool for you, because here's the way it works. When you take that required minimum distribution out the normal way as a distribution, they're going to write you a check. You're going to deposit it in your savings account. And you're going to have to report that as a taxable distribution. So it's going to be added to your taxable income for the year of the withdrawal. Okay. So that's the way most people do it. Now, the qualified charitable distribution does the same thing, but it doesn't require you to recognize it as income. So what happens is, let's say you take the same amount of the required minimum distribution, and instead of having them write you a check, they send it directly to your church or your favorite charity, like American Family Association. And they get the check. They then are able to use it for their purposes. And you get the ability to satisfy that required minimum and not recognize it as income, because it went straight from your IRA to American Family Association, in my example. And the IRS counts that toward your required minimum, but you don't add anything to your taxes for the year. Does that make sense?
I'm listening to you.
Yeah. So what you would do is you'd call your brokerage firm or your advisor, whoever has the account, and you'd say, listen, I want to make a qualified charitable distribution in this amount, and it could be exactly the amount of the required minimum for the year. And they'll say, great, here's what you do. Here's the form, or here's where you go online. You'll want to let your church or charity know that it's coming. And they'll just send it directly, not to you, but to the church or the charity as a qualified charitable distribution. You'll get a receipt from them that you'll send in with your tax return, and you will have just satisfied your required minimum, but you will add not one penny to your taxable income for the year.
Okay, but you're talking about giving them the total amount of the withdrawal, right?
You don't have to, but I'm just saying it's one way to, if you don't need the money, and let's say you're already giving to your church or AFA out of cash. So after, you know, by giving out of your savings account or your checking account, which is after tax dollars. Well, what if you replace that same giving that you were already doing out of your savings account or checking account with the money coming from your IRA, except now you don't have to add it as taxable income for the year and you satisfy that required minimum. So you're not out any more money because it's the same giving you were already going to do over the course of the year, but instead you're satisfying the required minimum.
Okay. All right. So like I said, I never heard of this. I'm getting educated and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Take for instance, you had 500 in this account. So you have got to withdraw at least 10, I'm told. So you're talking about 50. So you would just transfer from there to this deal, 50 grand.
Well, you wouldn't have to. You decide how much you want to send. All I'm saying is
Okay. Whatever
amount you want to give, and let's say it's equal to what you were already going to give your church. Maybe you're tithing every month, and instead of writing them out of your checking account, what if you sent it from your IRA as a qualified charitable distribution? So now you're giving the same amount you were already planning to give. But by doing it as a qualified charitable distribution, you just satisfied your required minimum potentially, as long as you give enough, and you don't add it to your taxable income, which you will have to do if you take it the normal way.
Okay. All right. Like I said, I never heard of this and all this kind of stuff. But
so
anyway.
This is a new strategy for you to consider. And what it's going to do is keep you from having any additional tax liability and give you a way to satisfy your required minimum, which you've got to begin doing either this year or next. Your CPA will tell you. And, you know, you may be able to do it in a way that allows you to give the same amount or more if you want to, but not have any additional tax burden.
Okay.
Very good. Listen, Daniel, thank you for calling and listening, sir, and may the Lord bless you. If we can serve you in any other way, don't hesitate to let us know.
Go ahead. Who would I reach to get a little more information about this? You the man.
Yeah, do you have an advisor, Daniel, that you work with? Who manages that IRA?
Awesome. Yes. Yes,
okay.
No question about this. It's a firm, yes, sir.
Okay, so you'll want to call that firm and say, listen, I heard about something called a qualified charitable distribution, or a QCD, and I want you to tell me how that might help me satisfy my required minimum and get the same amount that I was going to send to my church or charity this year in the process. And they'll give you all the details.
Oh, where are you located?
I don't offer any financial advice other than providing this program on the air. I'm the CEO of a Christian ministry that educates God's people on biblically wise financial advice, but we don't actually have clients or serve anybody in that way directly for a fee. And so we're just here to equip God's people with principles. But if you need professional advice, you need to go to either your advisor, or we've got 1,500 certified Kingdom advisors across the country. They don't work for us, but they have the designation that we trust, certified Kingdom advisor. You can find any one of those on our website at faithfi.com. Click find a professional. But I don't offer any paid financial advice or services. I'm just here trying to help you be a wise and faithful steward. Hey, God bless you, sir. Thank you for being on the program today. We appreciate it. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. So thankful that you invite us into your financial lives each day. And to that end, if you want to help support our work, we've heard from several people today that have said, listen, I listen every day. I've really been blessed by this program. I benefit from it. We would just ask that you consider supporting the ministry. We're a listener-supported, not-for-profit ministry here at FaithFi, and the only way we can bring you this broadcast is through your financial support. Whether you give one time, and by the way, at $25 or more, we can send you our new study, Rich Toward God, as our thank you, or by becoming a FaithFi partner. That's those who invest in the ministry with a tax-deductible gift of $35 or more per month. Just head to faithfi.com and click give to learn more. That's faithfi.com and click give. Hey, big thanks to my team today, Adam Suddeth, Robert Youngblood, and Jim Henry. Enjoy the rest of your day and come back and see us tomorrow. Bye-bye.